I'm Afshan Ratansi, and welcome back to Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from the UAE, which has been hosting unprecedented talks between Russia, Ukraine and the USA, facing what's been described as civil war back home. This after US-sponsored recent attacks on Venezuela, Palestine, Lebanon, Syria, Iran, Iraq, Somalia and Nigeria. While trilateral talks down the road in Abu Dhabi may resume tomorrow, 45 miles away from this studio, Iran begins its 10-day dawn, celebrating the 1979 revolution that overthrew the US-UK tyrant dictator Shah. It will be a show of force closely monitored by the multi-billion dollar carrier fleets Trump has sent to intimidate the energy superpower and hub of the India-Russia-Iran North-South corridor. In a week of the 81st anniversary of Stalin's liberation of Auschwitz concentration camp, who better to talk to than someone who now destroys NATO media myth-making about the true geopolitical aims of the United States and its European vassal states. Command Chief Master Sergeant Dennis Fritz saw lies firsthand when he was at the Pentagon during the Iraq War. He advised general officers in the Department of Defense, including the former U.S. chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. His heavily redacted book, Deadly Betrayal, The Truth About Why the United States Invaded Iraq, is out now, and he joins me again from Waldorf, Maryland. Thank you so much, Commander Chief Master Sergeant Dennis Fritz. Dennis, thanks so much for coming back on. I mean, obviously, we want to get on to Iran, Greenland, the big issues. But let me just start with how, based on your military background, you've detected that events in Minnesota are should be of global attention, should be concerning. Everyone around the world, because you've said that Minnesota is basically a training ground. I don't know whether it's for future projections of force at home and abroad. Minnesota is not just about Minnesota.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me again. And you're exactly right. I've said all along that, Minnesota has actually been a training ground. Well, a training ground for what? Well, the whole world better take notice, but in particular here us in the United States of America better because of the fact that, as you've seen, we've had killings in Minnesota by our government. And what's worse, they tried to lie to us for something that we personally saw ourselves. Now, here it is, we're talking about Iran and the killing, which was devastating, but we're actually killing folks here in the United States. Now, why do I say it's a training ground? Well, President Trump has been talking about Insurrection Act, which he can bring in the U.S. military into the United States against its own citizens. Now, I must tell you, Ashton, that when you bring in the military is trained to kill the so-called enemy. And so President Trump is calling citizens of the United States of America the enemy, and I'm going to bring in the military force that is trained to kill the so-called enemy.
And before we blame just Trump, I mean, I know that it's 47 weeks training for these ICE forces, 47 to match the ordinal number of the president himself. But to be clear, ICE, this force at home, its roots are actually in the policies of Bill and Hillary Clinton, of Joe Biden, and of John Kerry.
Well, it actually started when you talk about ICE. Let's go, unfortunately, after the 9/11 attack on us. You know, it was stated during, after briefs and so forth that, we had a lot of our intelligence services that were not communicating with one another. We had a lot of government agencies that were not communicating with one another. You know, the old ICE came from the Immigration and Naturalization Service. It was done by the Justice Department. So to make sure that we had proper immigration. And then you had the U.S. Customs Service that was under the Treasury Department, if I remember correctly. And, we brought these two forces, and after 9/11, whether it be our police departments or whether it be ICE, we made them militaristic, if you will. If you look on the streets in Minnesota right now, you will think the Army is there already. So when you said it was done under the Clinton and Biden administration, it was actually, done during the Bush administration. But, of course, it was continued, whether it be the Obama administration or the Biden administration, it will continue until now, and now it's really become weaponized.
Yeah, I mean, I misspoke earlier. It's not 47 weeks. That would be more like a police force or a military man like yourself, maybe way more to be a military person in situ. It is actually 47 days training before you're out on the streets. I should ask, because perhaps then Minnesota isn't that relevant for Iran. They could, however, send ice to an icy island called Greenland. I understand you were in Greenland when you were advising the Pentagon. It's called Pituffik Space Base. What have you thought about massive opposition across all NATO, the rest of NATO countries, let alone within Greenland, the hatred for the United States that is manifesting itself today?
Well, I will tell you, if it hadn't been in the past, it should be now. That was a wake-up call for the rest of the world, to include our NATO allies, if you will. You know, if you take a look, as I stated, you know, there's so much going on in the world today. You know, Venezuela, we just went in there and just, you know, decided we're going to take their oil under the disguise of, you know, we're going in because of the, as a drug interdiction type of military exercise. Well, if you look at NATO, you know, we're saying that, and I'm saying we're saying because it's my government saying that, hey, we want Greenland and we will take it by force if needed. You know, I've been to Greenland a couple of times. You just alluded to it. You know, it used to be under the Space Command, which I was at the time advising the person that went on to be the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Richard Myers. And I've been to Greenland, and I will tell you, and I say this jokingly, it's not a place where a lot of the military will want to go, because we used it as a joke. It was under the Air Force, and as a threat of punishment, we threatened to send you to Thule, Greenland, which was the name at the time. But, you know, when we talk about Greenland, you know, we have treaties with them. We have agreements with them. And people are asking, well, why does Trump want to take it? What does he want out of this? And that's something I've been asking myself in question, because, you know, we do have some minimal rights, and I'll let the government of Greenland speak for themselves regarding that. But what does Trump want? You know, as I've said in the past, I can give you assumptions, facts, and opinions. Now, my assumption is that I think Trump just wants something else he can put his name on it. I think it's an expansion of the United States, because, you know, it can't be about, you know, trying to protect, you know, Europe and trying to protect us, because we have that right now. You know, we had at one time 17 installations, military installations on Greenland. 17. We reduced them, you know, and now we're down to one. And now Trump said, well, we need that part of the world, you know, for security against who? You know, China and Russia, which I doubt that, to be quite frank with you. But I think it's all about, once again, it's an assumption that Trump is, you know, he's in his playpen again and just wants something he can put his name on and say, hey, I expanded the United States of America, and that part of the world, Greenland, should be called Trump World.
Well, we'll be talking to a Greenland senior minister on Monday's Going Underground. I mean, of course, there could be another tactical reason for this. In the Abu Dhabi National newspaper, it says Russia, Ukraine, and U.S. to return to Abu Dhabi talks after the success. To return to Abu Dhabi after the success of talks. They're supposed to begin tomorrow. Does that shut NATO countries who want the proxy war in against Russia to continue, does it not shut them up as they divide amongst themselves? I mean, clearly, these Western European powers are now petrified over Greenland and too busy thinking about that than to try and tell their man in the cabinet, Rubio, how to leak stories secretly to scupper the talks for peace in Western Europe.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting point, Ashton. You know, I don't know what to think of that. But let me just add something to what we talk about Greenland. And like I said, that was an awakening for them. It was okay for us to go into Iraq. It was okay for us to from a NATO perspective, to go in and destabilize Libya. But now that it's in their own backyard, where it's being seen now that the United States really, truly only care for itself. Now, I may not answer your question, but I want to add something to this. You know, I was just dismayed at the NATO Secretary General to recently say, oh, my God, we need America. You know, we can't survive without them. Well, I would tell NATO, I would tell Greenland, I would tell Denmark, get some courage. You know, get some courage, because of the fact the United States, our current government, does not care about
you. How can they have courage? How can they have courage if there are so many tens of thousands of U.S. soldiers in Germany and Italy, if the U.K. nuclear deterrent is not an independent nuclear deterrent, apparently it needs a switch from the United States? Haven't they made themselves vassal states in a way that means they can't show courage with respect to protecting sovereignty?
Well, you know, it's funny you said that. That was the NATO Secretary General's, excuse. You know, we wouldn't have the U.S. umbrella. Well, I think France has nuclear weapons, if you will. And so my thing is to, why don't they come together? You know, the best speech I've ever heard internationally was a Canadian prime minister. And he told it like it was. And I will tell you that he is correct in what he's saying. But my only concern about him was that he wasn't saying that, or nobody was saying that in the past, until the Western world, NATO in particular, was threatened by President Trump. And so now the awakening is happening. And actually, I would tell you, the NATO world and the rest of the entire world should be on alert that America truly does not care about them. And I would take it even further here in the United States of America when we were talking about what's going on in Minnesota. You know, I ask folks, you know, to do your own critical thinking. It looks as though this current government doesn't even care about its own people. Now, I want you to think about that. And then when you're talking about NATO and our support of them and how they need us, well, I want you to do your own critical thinking and think about this. Half of America don't even like each other because of politicians. You know, we call each other the worst names. And if we'll kill Americans and we don't care about one another, we're split right down the middle. Why in the world do you think our government should care about you?
Well, you were referring earlier to Mark Carney, former Bank of England boss who stole Venezuelan gold. What did you think about the reaction to him speaking about how the entire so-called rules-based order is a pack of lies? And do people understand? Did they understand it when he finally explained to the world that it was a pack of lies?
No, it was an awakening. You know, you have more people speaking out, and it's funny you should say that. Yeah, when he said it was all lies. Somebody's finally speaking truth. It has been all lies. You know, from an American perspective, you know, I would ask anyone, you know, we can talk about the Middle East, and I'll share it at the end, my thoughts on certain things. But if you look at Venezuela, you know, for example, and the pack of lies, you know, they've been told by America and then its allies. You know, there was a guy, General Smedley Butler, a two-star general. He wrote a book called War is a Racket. And he explained, you know, if you go and read that book, it'll tell you why we attack, and I call it an attack, Venezuela. It wasn't about us trying to deter, you know, drugs coming into America. Trump says the quiet part out loud. I've been saying this for the longest. You know, this is something we've been doing forever, and more people now are speaking out. And like I said, here in America, when we talk about our Middle East policy, more people are speaking out, and we can get into that, and we can talk about Iran and probably another war in Iran that's coming up probably real soon.
We will. Commander Chief Master Sergeant Dennis Frith, I'll stop you there. More from the author of Deadly Betrayal, the truth about why the United States invaded Iraq, after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with retired Commander Chief Master Sergeant Dennis Frith. Dennis, we were talking about ICE earlier on, probably not as effective as Reagan's death squads in the 80s or Obama's ISIS forces in Syria. But of course, the war may already have begun in this region by the time this is being broadcast. In the Dubai Gulf News, very clearly on its front page, this was before the weekend, UAE says no attacks on Iran from its territory. Country will also not provide logistical support for attacks. That in the Gulf News, underneath a picture of Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan receiving the special envoy to Vladimir Putin in Abu Dhabi. Do you think that that had an effect? The United Arab Emirates, I know that Donald Trump is in thrall to the rulers of the Gulf and the GCC countries. How significant was it that GCC countries, I mean, not all of them, and certainly not all countries like Jordan, are refusing to allow military bases owned by the United States or rented, perhaps, to be used for an attack on Iran, which may already have begun.
Yes, you know, that is quite remarkable. And that tells you how concerned they are that Iran would truly retaliate this time. You also might want to include Saudi Arabia, you know, saying that they would not allow their airspace to be used in an attack against Iran. But let me just tell you something, Ashton. This is part of continuation of the playbook. You know, I thank you for mentioning, you know, my book is over my shoulder. You know, I think if you have a paperback copy, if you go to page 58 and 59, you know, Iran is the last stage of a playbook that goes all the way back to the George W. H.W. Bush administration. This is the last phase of taking over the Middle East. You know, you hear talk about the ballistic missiles, and we saw them firsthand during the retaliation by Iran on Israel after the attack on their nuclear facilities. I see war as probably 50-50 right now or more because of that stage. When you saw the unrest in Iran, that was staged by, you believe it or not, the Mossad with the help from us and the British intelligence units. This has always been part of a plan because of the fact they were truly, and I really mean this from the playbook I personally saw in the Pentagon, afraid of Iran's ballistic missiles. That's why when Trump first came in the office, he got rid of the JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, better known as the nuclear deal, because of the fact they wanted Iran's ballistic missiles included in that. And I will tell you, they will not, they being Iran, will not get rid of those nuclear, I mean, those ballistic missiles, because that is their lifeline of survival. And now I think we're going to go to war because the latest unrest was not successful. You know, as I mentioned about my book, if you go to page 58 and 59, I talk about their goal of having unrest to take down the regime, as they call it. I call it the government, but our government calls it the regime in Iran, to take it down. Well, they got a something they didn't expect back in 2009, which I put in the book. Because of charges of fraud in the presidential elections back then, a couple of the folks that was running for president in Iran, you know, they said there was fraud. And so there was unrest. And the neocons here and the Zionists thought that was their chance to take down Iran in 2009. However, Obama didn't take the bait. He wanted no part of that. And they were very upset. They being Israeli lobby, the Zionists, and the neocons here in the United States, the warmongers, the Lindsey Grahams of the world at the time, John McCain, at the time, they were very upset of Obama because he didn't call. He was very mute in the support of the unrest in Iran in 2009. So since that didn't happen, and if you remember, as I mentioned before, after Iran used the ballistic missiles on Israel, and they realized then how accurate and how powerful those missiles are, that's why the so-called war ended. But now they decided, okay, now it's time for us to initiate the unrest in Iran. And the plan was to call internal unrest with the youth there. And oh, by the way, exiles around the world. In particular, you heard this name coming up quite a bit. I'm trying to remember, Reza Pahlavi. He is the son of the Shah, the former Shah.
He didn't have time to come on this show, unfortunately, so he said. And I should just say that Mossad and Scott Bessant agree with you as regards all of this, because Scott Bessant said, that's the Treasury Secretary, admitted that the cause of the protest was all catalyzed from Washington. But I think what I want to ask you, though, related to other claims in your book, how you saw the influence of Israel in planning at the Pentagon and at the State Department. Who holds more sway, the UAE and Saudi Arabia, the money powerhouses of this region, over Trump saying, don't attack Iran, or Netanyahu? Maybe because of Jeffrey Epstein, who knows, whose name has disappeared from the news headlines.
Oh, there's no question, Bibi Netanyahu and the Israeli lobby and the Zionists. Now, you know, UAE and all these others that come into play, that's because of Trump. Trump loves money. You know, our foreign policy is based on, you know, I mean, our Congress being bought and paid for and our administration being bought and paid for by the Israeli lobby. That's a fact. That's not anti-Semitic. That's a fact. But when we talk about UAE and they're saying, hey, don't do this, or you talk about Saudi Arabia, well, Trump may listen to them because of the fact he loved the money deals that he can make currently and even when he gets out of office. You know, that's all about money when you talk about the UAE and Saudi Arabia. But when it comes to foreign policy and the imperialistic goals of the United States along with Israel in the Middle East, oh, that will overpower the UAE, any wishes they have, and Saudi Arabia. So, no, it's definitely Bibi Netanyahu. He knows how to play that game. He's been doing it and running, you ready for this, running our Congress for decades.
So just describe to us then what Trump and his Joint Chiefs of Staff have assembled in the Gulf, as they say, just not a few miles from this studio. How catastrophic? I mean, you were advising on the air campaign against the former American ally Saddam Hussein in Iraq. An Air Force attack on Iran, what is this carrier strike group going to do? Presumably not being able to use Al-Dafra base in Abu Dhabi, not being able to use bases perhaps in Qatar this time, means that the carrier strike group can be used to launch attacks from the decks of these aircraft carriers. But how conceivable is that?
Well, they can bring in, you know, other fighter aircraft. That's why we have we have the largest air refueling fleet in the world. And so there will be some refueling pathway, whether it be from the United States or other installations, around the globe. And so there's a way to do this. And, as Trump has said himself, you know, he's put together the largest armada again. You know, Venezuela was the first, you know, during this term, and now is back to Iran. And so if it's decided, which I'm, like I said, I'm over 50-50, you know, thinking that we are going to go to war again because their last chance of causing unrest failed. So I think we're going to eventually, going back to the question that you asked, because of the Israeli lobby and Bibi Netanyahu, I think we are going to eventually go to war again with Iran. And we do have, you know, the resources. And I keep saying we because I have to, because it is my government, which I don't support in this regard. But there are resources where we can do air refueling. And in fact, I'm being told that we are bringing in fighter aircraft for that purpose.
Yeah, as I say, the bombing may already have started. I got to ask you actually about whether it was disinformation or, as some sources are claiming, true that an electromagnetic weapon was used in the kidnapping of Maduro and Celia Flores, the president and first lady of Venezuela, which knocked out all communication, and whether they could use such an electromagnetic weapon, that's what's giving them some confidence as regards operations in the GCC area.
Well, you know, as we stated earlier, opinion, assumption, in fact, my assumption is, yes, that did happen to talk at, you know, some of my colleagues with the Eisenhower Media Network and others, people that I've talked with that are former CIA agents, you know, I think that was really used. And in fact, you know,
That could be White disinformation. I mean, you were at the Pentagon, and I know everything you tell us is there's one half of your mind thinking you can't say certain things. But you know that kind of tech talk can also be used as propaganda value to scare the enemy.
Absolutely. You know, as you stated, disinformation. I saw it firsthand, you know, in the Pentagon. And I thank you for saying, you know, so-called there's certain things I can't say, and or whatever the case may be, as you alluded to, my heavily redacted book, you know, there's things that, now I do understand whether I believe in the policy or not. You know, I do understand when I believe, you know, we have what we call an overclassification in the Pentagon, which I saw firsthand as a top secret control officer during my time at the Pentagon as well. And there's certain things I do believe we must withhold when we have certain weapons and so forth. Yeah, we need to protect those because we are one day, even though we seem to be the one to instigate all these wars, there will be one day where we do have an enemy that will attack us. So we do need a military. We do need to keep our technology secret. We do need to keep it secret when we use certain technologies. I do support that. I really do. But at the same time, you know, when we're using that as part of our imperialistic goals, you know, that is indeed wrong. Now, when you said it may be overly optimistic of what we did, possibly did in Venezuela, well, the reason we keep these things secret is because of the fact. Now, that gives Iran, that gives some of their supporters, China and Russia, I'm sure they're communicating with one another to say, okay, if this happened in Venezuela, let's study that and see what happened and how can we counter that.
Yeah, so we don't know whether China and Russia have one. We're just running out of time. Just very briefly, the reduced footprint in the South China Sea by moving the USS Abraham Lincoln carrier strike group means, would this be an ideal time for China to retake its rogue renegade province of Taiwan?
No, I don't think so. I still think we're years away. Let me just tell you this, and I feel quite confident about this. China does not want war with Taiwan. They want to bring it peaceful. That was used to be my area of responsibility when I was out in the Pacific. They want to bring this resolution, you know, peacefully. No, so I don't think they're that's just rhetoric. You're talking about disinformation again. That's rhetoric on our part, you know, to say, hey, you know, China is looking. You know, that's going to give them an opportunity to take over Taiwan. We're the one that be pushing that. That's just disinformation on our part. You know, when is the last time, I'll ask your audience, when is the last time China has invaded anyone? You know, it's just like they want to handle that peacefully and want us to out of that. It's just like if Texas decide to succeed, you know, we won't want anybody else in our business. We would try to make sure they don't do that, you know? And so that's what China, they consider that internally. They do not interfere with others' business. And that's what they want from us in regards to Taiwan. So no, I don't think that's an opportunity where China would take advantage and say, okay, this is our time. I think the only way they would do that if Taiwan decided they were going to absolutely succeed and we supported that, then I think that would cause a war. But I don't think they'll just arbitrarily, you know, decide that they're going to preempt and go into Taiwan. That's just my opinion there.
Come on, Chief Master Sergeant Dennis Fritz. I think the Vietnamese will remember when the Chinese invaded. Thank you so much for coming on.
That was the last time.
Thank you. That's it for the show. Our continued condolences, of course, to those suffering the impact of the US-UK-EU on bombing of Gaza and the attempts on Iran. We'll be back on Monday to talk to the Greenland government about an impending US invasion of the largest island in the world. Until then, keep in touch via all our social media if it's not censored in your country, and head to our channel, Going Underground TV on Rumble.com, to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you Monday.